Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. As always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We were talking last half hour about situation in Charlotte, and the police department is showing the family of the deceased man who was shot by the police. Was that two nights ago?
I want to say it was over the weekend, wasn't
okay,
it?
Okay, over the week. Okay, we'll look back and see exactly. But anyway, the point is that the police department invited the family in to view the dash cam from one of the cars to show them what happened, because the police claimed that the man had a gun, would not put it down.
I think it was Tuesday night.
That he would not put it down. Well, today's Thursday, right?
Right.
So happened Tuesday night. Police said the man would not put the gun down. They ordered him to several times. And I don't know. And so something happened. And a police officer, who himself was black, is black, shot the fella. And he died. And
43-year-old man, Keith Lamont Scott.
Yeah. And so, but the police, if they're trying to cover stuff up, they're not doing a very good job of it. By inviting the family in to watch the video,
right,
within 48 hours. Now, they can't show that video to the public yet, I don't think, for legal reasons, because it's evidence, maybe. It could be evidence.
Well, because the police officer who shot him, as
right.
per department regulations, has been suspended. I'm sure it's suspended with pay, but suspended from active duty as while they investigate.
Right.
So they would use this video to determine whether the police officer, killed the man in cold blood, in which case he could be prosecuted. So that is evidence. So this
right.
would be an extraordinary step,
right.
Taken to show the family. But you can't show the wider public because
no.
if you had to prosecute the police officer, you would not want to prejudice the potential jury pool in advance of a trial. So that I'm not a lawyer, obviously.
Yeah,
but
it would be interesting to see what the public reaction of the family is if they go in and watch the videotape and everything is just as the police had described it.
Right,
and if this
Keith Scott had a gun and was waving it, and
right.
the police were telling him to drop it, and he didn't, and so they shot him, you would think that would be the end of the protests, because they would say, wow, we thought it was, situation A, but it was actually situation B.
And
well,
if that scenario plays out and they say, no, we still protest, then you go back to my recommendation last half hour. Don't need an incident to protest. Let's set aside a part of the city where you can protest every Saturday night.
Right.
And I know I'm being a little facetious, but at the same time, why not try that?
Yeah.
With people instead of having them burned down.
Well, if the facts don't matter in these cases,
right,
then you shouldn't even have to have a shooting to have a protest.
Right, right, yeah, exactly.
Just protest.
Protest Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Be there.
You can burn down the neighborhood
right.
from, block.
Right.
From street such and such to street such and such.
Right. And have that reserved every Saturday night, the same part. That way you don't
yeah.
burn down
the whole city.
The whole city.
We're being wise guys, but at the same time, the kinds of lies that we're dealing with deserve a little bit of ridicule. At the same time, why we say, listen, if there is, real prejudice, real injustice going on, we need to have that conversation as a civilized society. So, let's have that conversation. Maybe the conversation, maybe it's late, but better late than never. But please don't, the old expression, don't do a particular thing on my leg and then tell me it's raining. Okay.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm not buying that.
Right. And the facts, we've talked about this before, are that whites are more likely to be killed by police officers in America than blacks.
That's who we had a guest on, and they were saying that was from a black Harvard economist.
Right. Right.
Who did that study? Now I think that black professor also found out that that black people were subject to rougher treatment from the police than whites, but in terms of the risk of being shot.
Right. Well, also, but if you want to talk about statistics, you have young black males engaged in.
A higher percentage,
way higher percentage.
Yeah,
of
this is a complicated issue
of criminal activity. If you have the same percentage of whites committing crimes among young white males as you have among young black males, then this country would be burned down to the ground because of the something's got to be done on that end to bring reformation within that demographic.
That's what I'm saying. It's a complicated issue, and it needs a deep conversation from all sides, with everyone being willing to listen. But what we're seeing in Charlotte, with apparently the narrative now having been upset by the fact that it was a black cop who shot Keith Scott, and yet the protests are saying, no, the cops are lying, they switched it. It was really a white cop. That's not gaining any friends.
At some point, at some point you have to walk away from a situation and say, I'm not talking to that person or hearing them anymore because they're irrational.
Right.
And they're irrational and they're untruthful.
But I will say this. I believe there are plenty of rational black people out there who are not violent, who aren't a part of these protests, but who want a conversation. And so I'm saying I'm willing to talk to those folks, but I'm not going to talk to someone who insists that the cops have switched it, that this black cop has fallen on his sword. He didn't really shoot Keith Scott, but he's going to take the fall for it, destroy his life just to save the police department who are covering up a white officer having shot. That is completely irrational. There's no having a conversation with a person who will believe that story.
Right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our next guest is...
Yeah, and boy, this is a little whiplash here. Eric Ballard, who's a youth and college pastor, he's author of a book on an entirely different subject, folks. It's titled Rite of Passage, The Making of a Godly Man. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys, man. I appreciate y'all having me on.
And I got to say, your bio on the back of your book says, you hope to live long enough to see your beloved Mississippi State Bulldogs win a national championship. And I've got to say, if you didn't win it last year or the year before, you think you're going to live long enough?
No, sadly, I do not. I was pretty convinced 2 years ago when, you know, we were number one there for that short, you know, set of weeks. I was convinced Jesus was coming back. I was allowing Keith to see State rise to the top before he took me. But
Eric, thanks for being with us. Eric, I'm a fellow Bulldog.
All right.
Yeah. That wasn't why we had Eric on, by the way. We had Eric on because he's an expert on the topic we're talking about. Thus, more cowbell.
Just played the cowbell.
More cowbell. Yeah, now.
We want it
play
now.
More cowbell.
Amen.
Right there, Eric. You hear that. You identify with that. We just lost all our...
Eric, I am a very... Down here in SEC country, I'm a very lonely Notre Dame fan.
Right.
You know,
Notre Dame, really?
Yeah.
By the way, we just lost all our Ole Miss listeners, and I don't know how we'll get them back, but we'll see what we can do here. We can't play Dixie, oh my word.
That's not
PC.
Don't start that.
All right, so Eric, tell us about your book and your topic here, Rite of Passage, The Making of a Godly Man. What's this about?
Well, it's just something that is addressing young men and trying to get them to mature and grow and to become the men that God has called them to be, and giving them biblical examples to look towards instead of things that culture and our current society, I guess, as a whole, is kind of showing them, hey, here's what a picture of a man looks like. And I think if you look in the scriptures, it doesn't really always line up with what we see being presented today.
Well, and you talk about the Peter Pan syndrome. What is that?
It's just something I refer to as guys who are kind of either stalling or just refusing to grow up. I know when I was coming out of college, a few of my friends or people I knew, for whatever reason, had a hard time finding jobs, and so they had to move back in with their parents until they could kind of figure things out. And there was, whether they mentioned it or not, there's a little bit of, I guess, shame or embarrassment because of that. But today, that's almost just kind of expected. Yeah, I'm going to go to college a little bit, and then I'm going to come back home and, you know, maybe figure things out and, you know, just see what happens. And they're just kind of stalling that maturing and taking on responsibilities and kind of stepping out on their own and becoming their own man.
So Peter Pan obviously was the boy who never grew up. And that's the syndrome. So you know, I know that a lot of times when I'm reading an article about whatever topic and you go down to the comments, I know I shouldn't, but I you know, a glutton for, you know, just for trolls, I guess. And you'll read a comment and then someone right underneath it will say, look, we know you're 30 years old. You're living in your mom and dad's basement playing video games all day. So that's kind of that Peter Pan syndrome that a lot of people recognize as being out there.
Right, and I think that type of guy is becoming more and more prevalent instead of the opposite of that.
There's something wrong with that?
It's fun. I'll give you that. It's definitely fun.
You guys are severely judgmental. I mean,
listen, if anyone's going to be down in the basement playing video games, right? It's going to be me.
Right. Okay, Eric Ballard is with us. We're talking about the making of a godly man. His book is called Right of Passage. How do we give us two or three things that you found in your research that is leads to the making of a godly man? And when is manhood start? Are you talking about 18 typically, or?
Well, see, that is kind of what I was studying. I just started asking my friends and people I knew and just kind of researching a little bit and asking them, hey, when would you say that, okay, here's the moment I became a man? And most of them had no idea. You know, there is no, right here, this is the time. But it usually reflected on some sort of, they would point to some sort of taking on of responsibility, either when they, you know, got their driver's license or they've graduated college and they have taken their first career, not just a job, a step into their career, or is one of those two things, or when another man had told them, hey, you're a man. Somehow, someone they looked up to, someone that they admired as a man, told them, hey, you are becoming a man. You are now a man. And those two things, I think, and so it's not necessarily an age, I don't guess, because it comes to us all at different times, but usually one of those two things have occurred, and then you can kind of point to that as the moment that we've become a man.
That's interesting, because in Jewish culture, and maybe other ancient cultures, but in Jewish culture, it was like 13 when they had their bar mitzvah. There was a line of demarcation where they said, now you are a man and you are going to begin learning what that means so you can take your place among other men. You think that Western culture, or specifically we're talking about American culture, do you find that lacking? Obviously, it must be lacking if grown men have a hard time actually answering that question.
I do. I think so. And I think what you pointed to, the reason I call the book Rite of Passage, is because in older societies, or in some still tribal societies that are alive today, they go through an actual rite of passage. And after they've completed this, everyone in the tribe or the community comes around and goes, hey, now you are a man. And so all the men kind of gather with them and go, hey, now you are one of us. And so it's easy for them to point to and go, yes, today I've become a man. And when they take on that ownership, they naturally step into the responsibilities that come alongside being a man.
You know, what's interesting, and your book is fascinating, by the way, and what's interesting, chapter 6, the title of it is Suffering, because the book has different, you know, characteristics, you know, courage, responsibility, suffering, taking it like a man. The reason this this hit me is because my dad used to say that to me. You know, you look, just take it like a man, just take it. But our culture has changed to the point where that kind of idea is offensive to a lot of people. Taking it right. like a man, what does that mean? You know, when I was growing up, that's what my dad told me. He said, no, you take your whooping like a man. You take it. You own it. You know, you did it. Take it like a man. You don't hear that a lot. Is there a pressure or an ideology? And I don't want to blame feminism because, you know, good has come out of the woman's movement. But this idea of confusion on the part of men as to whether or not they're a man or when that happened, do you think that that is partly responsible?
Could be. I know there's definitely more so now than ever before. Men are supposed to be extremely sensitive. And if you're not right. sensitive, like you said, then, you know, you're offensive to other people. And so I would think there's some truth to what you're saying there for sure.
Well, it's just that, you know, there's, you know, a lot of talk about men being emasculated now. You know, I always, you know, if get in discussions like this with women, it's only happened on a couple of occasions. And I say, look, do you want to marry a woman or a man? You know, now right. it's not that men, you know, have to be rough and gruff. They can be sensitive and they can, you know, talk and
look
they
at
can
me as they, just an example.
Yeah, they can.
Right. You can be masculine without being macho for sure.
Right. So, you know, there seems to be some, and my understanding is in a lot of, you know, schools of education and colleges and universities, they, in a sense, want to emasculate young, you know, boys. No, you can't act that way. You've got to act this way. I know this is outside what you're trying to do because you're taking a biblical approach, but I see that and I wonder if that adds to the confusion of young men in terms of wondering when they're a man, and maybe that's why going back to the Bible, as you do, is the place to start.
Oh, absolutely. I think like what you're hitting on again, I think you're absolutely right. If you watch, as far as culture goes, if you watch any sitcom, any TV show that has a family as the star, the character that plays the dad is usually some bumbling idiot that gets the family into some kind of mess every week. And it's either the mom or sometimes even a kid that have to come and save the day. And so our picture of what a dad, who the Bible says is supposed to lead the family, our picture from society or culture shows the dad always just kind of getting the family into more and more of a mess instead of leading them out of and into the direction they need to go.
Right, like The Simpsons. I mean, you know, that was
right.
You know, Homer Simpson was a complete moron, and that was so. Why does a culture want to do that? Why does the entertainment industry want to do that? And furthermore, why does a culture accept that?
Well, I think, and again, I'm not an expert on this, but I would guess as far as a culture aspect, there was the stereotypical man from, let's say,
Archie Bunker.
These really hardened men, right? Don't really speak a lot, don't really show any emotion, rarely tell them their kids they love them, stuff like that. And so maybe there's this idea, hey, we have to be more sensitive to than we are now. And the right. pendulum just swung too far and hasn't come back yet.
Yeah,
there's some truth to that. You know, the John Wayne era did exist.
Yes.
That's the way it was. Right. That was America for a long time.
And the British keep a stiff upper lip, you know.
Don't let them see you sweat. Don't let them see you cry. So a lot of men did have a problem with that, but I think we've gone
way over.
Because I think
who wants a man that cries all the time?
Right.
Okay, can we have some kind of balance
right.
here?
Right. The goal, I sure don't, even if you lose your football game, you need to quit crying.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
So anyway, this is a biblical approach to making a godly man, and it's by Eric Ballard, our guest. The book is called Rite of Passage, and where can people get this, Eric?
They can get it pretty much anywhere. Books, Amazon, of course, ChristianBook.com, Lifeway, should be in all these places.
What kind of feedback have you had?
It's been pretty positive so far. It's kind of a new release. It's only been out for about a month. But everyone that I've talked to have enjoyed it. And then surprisingly think the concept is unique. That, oh man, I can't believe we never had this kind of discussion or talk before.
Oh my gosh,
that's good.
Yeah, that is good, and it shows how far we've slid. Let me just ask you this: we're almost out of time. How do you measure up to your own book?
Oh man, that's a terrible question.
No, it isn't. Why don't you give us the numbers of some of the people who can answer that for us, and we'll call them, have them on.
Maybe that's a dirty trick, and maybe that is, Eric.
I'm still learning. I'm still growing, and I'm just teaching what I was learning.
Yeah. How old are you, Eric? If you don't mind my asking, you're
I'm
a guy.
36.
I'm 36. Well, I'm 58, brother, and I'm still learning. So it is a lifelong journey,
and I believe this
is a great great contribution. Is so necessary because of the cultural confusion in which we live, and I think people
we need
get
more
a
godly
lot of,
men.
We do, and we need men who are godly from a biblical perspective, and not let the culture tell us what a man should be. Although we certainly can learn, you know, from anybody. But this is a great contribution, Eric. I think people ought to pick up a copy.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it. No, thank you so much for having me on, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right. See ya.
And go Notre Dame.
Right. Hell State. All right. So anyway,
everybody say whatever you want.
Out your own college. Yeah.
At the radio.
Yeah, your college cheer. The book is called Rite of Passage, A Making of a Godly Man. There was a slew of those kinds of books back in the 90s, the Promise Keepers movement, the topics.
Yeah.
I think one of the best ones I ever read, excuse me, the book we're talking about here, I haven't read yet. You've read some of it. I think it was Steve Farrar wrote a book.
Yes.
I want to say it was called Point Man. What was it? Look up Steve Farrar. I haven't talked to Steve in forever. He came by our office about 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And
we had him on 2 or 3 years ago on Today.
Oh, we did?
For something else.
Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, I think.
I want to say we had him in studio.
What was the name of his book? What did they get the name of his book?
We're putting Brent Creeley on the spot.
Brent's looking it up in the World Book. Just a minute.
The World Book.
Give him a second. He's gotten the F.
Yeah, we used to have to do that.
He's gotten the F out.
He's gone to the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature.
Right. Forrest, Finland, Fabio, and now what? Where'd you find out, Brent?
You was right. It's called The Point Man, How a Man Can Lead His Family.
Good memory.
Let me tell you, I read that book, and that's how I remember the name of it all these years. That is a timeless book, but it's excellent. So I would recommend the book we just read.
Yeah, Rite of Passage by Eric Ballard.
But The Point Man for Steve Farrar, I remember that all these years later. That had an impact on me as a young father at the time I was reading that, and young husband. So check that out. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That book is called Point Man, Steve Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. So
I'm going to give a copy of this, by the way. I'm talking about Eric Ballard's book, Rite of Passage, to Teddy James, who works with, our millennial outreach.
We have an outreach?
Yes. I can't think of the name of the magazine. What's the name of our magazine?
Engage.
Engage. I'm sorry. I just kind of got
brain freeze.
Engage. Because I bet this would be a great interview for our younger folks.
EngageMagazine.org, I think it is. Yeah. Maybe .com. .org? .net. Didn't even. Swing, miss.
Well, our people feel a lot of confidence listening to us here.
Well, they should, readers. Because tomorrow's Trivia Friday.
Yes.
Woo. You want to grow deep, learn a lot.
Grow deep, go long.
Better yourself.
Football.
You'll be here tomorrow, 10:05 Central Time, for Learning University. We'll see you then.